This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Fred Alan Wolfe is a physicist, writer and lecturer who earned his PhD in theoretical physics at UCLA back in 1963. He continues to write lectures throughout the world and continues to conduct research on the relationship of quantum physics to consciousness. He is a National Book Award winner, author of Taking the Quantum Leap, and today he takes the time to explain a bit about quantum physics. Dr. Wolfe, thank you very much for your time today.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Now, quantum physics seems to be, a new realm of exploring human existence. Can you give me a bit of a dummy's definition of what quantum physics is?
Well, it's a field of science which is now more than 100 years old, and it simply was a revolution in our thinking about the nature of the material world. We began to realize that things were not only made of very small particles called atoms, but even the particles themselves weren't always particles. They sometimes were something different than particles. They were waves of possibility spreading out all over the place. And the big discovery that shocked everybody was that observation, that is, when you look at things like this small, you can actually change the things you're looking at simply by the action you take in looking at them.
So basically, I also believe that electrons, which are part of the atoms as well, they have some very unusual behavior patterns as well, as not just being observed, but sometimes they're there and sometimes they're not there. Is that right?
That's right. Sometimes they're here, sometimes they're not here. And the thing that quantum physics allowed us to do was to calculate what's going on when they're not here. The behavior of what's going on when they're not here actually allowed us to predict how matter in its grossest form, that's the stuff that you and I are made of, changes, modifies, heats up, gets cold, how the nervous system works, how the brain works. We began to learn a lot of things that were more mysterious to us before quantum physics.
So are the electrons actually disappearing, or are they disintegrating, or what's actually happening to them?
Well, you see, the idea that they're disappearing, disintegrating, vanishing, appearing is an old idea based upon the conjurer's trick, the magician's trick, in which if it ain't here, it's got to be somewhere else. And the point is, it isn't being anything at all. It just simply isn't matter in the sense that we understand matter to be. It's in some kind of ghostly field. In fact, we now talk about quantum fields of existence. So this ghostly field is like nothing we can imagine. But if we don't imagine it in some way and try to make a model of it, then we can't get the tremendous successes that quantum physics has allowed us to get in terms of how our world presently works. All our technology is basically a quantum technology, and our understanding of even the universe is based upon quantum physics. So all that wouldn't happen if we just simply assumed that matter was made of little hunks. Now we know that matter is not made of little hunks. What matter seems to be is some kind of excitation of the fields which permeate all of space. And what this excitation is, we really don't know, except that it behaves like matter.
So at this point in time, there's a bit of a struggle in human thinking, because we kind of want to see something somewhere and know where it is, and we can't do that at that point in time. Is that right?
That's right. We simply cannot use our old ways of thinking about the material world in order to understand the behavior of matter itself. Matter isn't made of other things. Matter is made of possibilities. And that's a language where we're still not used to yet.
No, for sure. Now, another thing that was touched on in the film or the documentary, What the Bleep Do We Know, is that the same particle can be in two places at once. That's touching on the possibility.
Well, that actually is a little bit of an extent. That's not quite true. It's not really in two places at once if it's only one particle. A single particle can only be observed in one place at once. But when it's not being observed, it can be in many places at once. And that's what I mean by the idea of it being some kind of field or moving through all of space. It's hard to imagine, it's hard to discuss, it's hard to really think about, because our minds want to make things concrete.
Gotcha. Could you tell me a little bit about quantum entanglement and what that is?
Well, that's all part of the same picture. What happens is if you take two objects, two particles, and you bang them together and let them fly apart from each other, they each carry away a remnant of the other, a kind of a memory. And this memory becomes more important than the particles themselves. In fact, the particles themselves are no longer even there until somebody makes an observation. And when somebody observes one of those particles, the other particle, no matter how far away it is, instantly pops into existence, just like the one that's observed. So here we have this thing where an observation at one place can cause an effect billions of miles away instantaneously. And that's what's called quantum entanglement.
Wow. So what do these discoveries that are being made in quantum physics, what does it mean to the everyday person who's maybe eating their breakfast at the moment here in Australia or driving to work? How does it alter their life?
That's a good question. It's not an easy one to answer. One of the things that I've been doing and several other teachers have been doing is simply spreading the word and saying, here's what quantum physics is saying. Now, how are you thinking about the way your life is and the way the world is in comparison to the way we understand the way the world works? And what happens is that people sometimes can change their thinking, can learn to think about the world and themselves in the world in a new way. For example, we have this thing in quantum physics called the observer effect. That is, when you observe something in quantum physics, it instantly comes into being in a certain way. And the question is, can you look at things differently, and would they come into being in different ways? And the answer, as far as electrons and subatomic particles are concerned, is very much yes. They will change according to how you go about looking at them. So that leads to a metaphor. What about my life? If I start looking at my life in a different way, can I change the way I am? And the answer is very probably yes, because you don't need to look at yourself as being a fixed hunk of matter stuck in the ways of thinking that you always believed were true. And if you now understand that by changing the way you think, you might be able to change yourself, then this leads to hope, a new metaphor, and possibly a better life for yourself.
So basically it's how you approach your life and how you observe your life, because one thing I found interesting is you appeared on, in the documentary The Secret, which talks about the law of attraction, which people seem to summarize as if you think about something, you'll get it. Whereas on your website, you talk quite a lot about actually not being totally in agreement with the law of attraction, how it's presented in that manner.
Yes, the law of attraction is really a kind of, advertising gimmick. It's a way to get people to wake up to the fact that they can make changes in their life. So in that sense, it's done a good job. The problem is that people take it too literally. Just thinking about stuff ain't going to accomplish anything. You got to take action. We live in a world of matter and energy, and that means you got to take action if you want something to happen. It's the kind of action that you need to take that is in question, and maybe quantum physics or some of the ideas that I talk about in my books or others talk about in their books can help in this matter.
Now, talking about your books, your latest book is a little book on big ideas. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, that book arose out of all my writings. What happened is my editors were looking through a number of things I've said, and they said, you know, this paragraph here is so good, I think it stands on its own. So we began to clip out from all my books. I've written like 14 or 15 of them by now, and little parts of what I've said before, kind of like aphorisms, you might say.
Yes.
So it's a book of one page to one line aphorisms about the nature of reality, and it's the kind of thing you read when you're standing on a bus waiting to get off the next stop, or when you're got nothing to do eating your lunch and you want to just get some inspiration. It's kind of a book of inspiration ideas based upon the notions of quantum physics.
And talking about your ideas as well, Dr. Quantum is one of your ideas as well. Was he created to simplify quantum physics and to explain some of the...
Well, actually, Dr. Quantum was created about 30 years ago when I appeared with Timothy Leary at a performance in Los Angeles at the Wilshire E. Bell Theater. I was the opening act. And part of what I do, part of my training as a physicist, I mean, as a human being, not only as a physicist, is that I've learned how to do certain kinds of stage magic. So I did a kind of a magic act to illustrate quantum physics, objects disappearing, reappearing, being in two places at once, you know, the type of things that quantum physics suggests. And so an article was written about me in a magazine at that time, and they showed me as a kind of Dr. Quantum superhero. At that time, it was called Captain Quantum rather than Dr. Quantum. But then when the movie came out, What the Bleep, my image was used to be on the cover of the comic book that that little kid was holding in his hands, the kid on the basketball court. And since then, we decided to go ahead and trademark Dr. Quantum, and now I'm putting him out, putting out this character under a number of different products, including audio programs and books and so forth.
Gotcha. Now, you talked about What the Bleep, the sequel to that, Down the Rabbit Hole. You said that the act of making love is a way to see into the future. Ponder that for a while.
Weird.
I've been pondering. I've even been practicing. But I still need to know what on earth you mean.
Yeah, it's one that puts your head in a very different twist, I must admit. When I first realized what I was saying, I thought, oh, my God, people are going to really jump on me for this.
Yeah.
But think of it this way. Aside from the pleasurable aspect of sex, think about what the purpose of sex is. Does sex have a purpose? And if things have a purpose, it means they're directed towards something in the future. Now, everybody knows what the purpose of sex is. It's to create new beings on our planet. It's to create children. So if you think of it that way, you might think that what sex is the future children calling back in time to us to say, hey, guys, get it on. I like you, too. I think you'd be a great mommy and a great daddy. So get it on, boy, because I want to be born.
I like it. I think I need more practice, though. Well, Dr. Wolf, you're a very busy man, and I do appreciate you taking the time out to have a chat to us today and explain a bit more about quantum physics. It's a fascinating field. Do you feel that we've only just started to scratch the surface?
Well, you know, physicists have been scratching their heads about this for 100 years or more than 100 years, but it's now getting into the layperson's language structure, and that's what I'm all about. My idea is that if you take these ideas from quantum physics and begin to apply them to your life, to your sense of who you are and what you are, it can actually make your life better. So I think that's what I'm about, and that's what I think is going to be going on. As time goes on, we're going to be learning more and being able to use more of it and bettering our lives.
And I'm about 15 years since I was last at high school, and when I was doing high school science, is it going to start seeping its way into what's being taught in schools?
Well, it should if it hasn't already. I think that high school teachers, have come up to me after some of my lectures or seminars and said, gosh, I wish I would have used it. I'd like to use this in my school. I love this picture. Can I use it? And I say, please, anything I put out there is free to be used in your classrooms, wherever you want, because I'd love you to get these ideas out to you, to high school kids, even grade school kids, because I think they're going to catch on to it. We're in a new age. We're using computers. We're texting back and forth. We're using quantum instruments. I mean, the whole texting metaphor, the whole idea is sending little quantum messages back and forth to each other on cell phones. This is all quantum physics and entanglement stuff going on. So it's about time that, I think, interestingly time for kids to get excited about what really is going on and be able to make new contributions to new forms of technology and new ideas in science, which will help all of us.
It'll be interesting to see what happens over the generations as new discoveries happen, won't it?
Right.
Well, Dr. Wolf, thank you very much for your time today.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you.
That is Dr. Wolf giving us a bit of an explanation on what quantum physics is and how it actually applies to our life.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.